from the Bible reading, we see that certainly it is possible to please God when we obey His commandments. There in verse 4, where Ronnie read in 2 John, he said, "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandments from the Father." So it is possible to know what God would have us to do. It is possible to search God's Word and receive it in our heart and believe it and then apply it to our life and walk according to His commandments. But it's also possible not to do that. It's possible for our own selves to make mistakes when we study the Bible and be misled by our own opinions or the things that we may have heard someone else talk about that may have not been exactly according to Scripture. So we see certainly it's important that we would be careful, that we would handle the Scriptures correctly, that I would study, you would study yourself, and that we'd study together as Christians to know the will of God. It's important then that we think about the Word of God and what He has to say, and understanding that we can err from the Scriptures. We're warned there in 2 John, looking at verses 7 through 11 there, that certainly there are those who will go out and who will teach, religiously speaking, in terms of things of a spiritual nature, of things of a religious matter that may not be in keeping with the will of God. There are those who do not teach the doctrine of Christ. And so John classified those as deceivers. And we need to be careful that we would know the Word of God, that so that ourselves, when we hear others teach, that we are not deceived by false teaching. We go back to the Gospel of Matthew. Go back to Matthew chapter 22. We use this as our text when we started this series of lessons concerning recognizing religious error and correcting religious error by virtue of knowing the Scriptures and applying the truth to correct error. But in Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus talked to the Sadducees, He told them in verse 29 concerning their misunderstanding and the things they were doing wrong religiously. He said to them, "You are mistaken." And some versions use the phrase, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." So it's easy to establish from the study of the Scriptures that there were people in Bible times, in the old and the new, who were mistaken about the Scriptures. For various reasons they were mistaken. Some did not study. Some simply did not take heed of what the Scriptures said. Some wanted to impose their own ideas on others. Some were influenced by others who were false teachers, and so they carried that out rather than the Word of God. So it's important that as I live my life from day to day, and as you live your life from day to day, that we study the Word of God, that we'd recognize what is right from the Word of God. And by knowing what is right, then we can identify and recognize error, religious error, when it comes our way. So number one is that we are not taken aside and pulled away by that which is being taught that's wrong. And that number two, that we might be able to stand up and defend the truth and help correct religious error. So I need to be careful in my life, and you need to be careful in that. So we go to the only place that we can go to know the truth, to know what the truth is about things concerning our salvation, how we're to live our life, how we're to treat others, the work of the church, the worship of the church, the things that God requires of, and that is from the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, we find that the Word of God, of course, is breathed. It is God-breathed. It comes from God. It is inspired. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We understand that when we look at the Scriptures, it's important that we study those, and if we learn those Scriptures, then we will know the truth. As Jesus talked about in the Gospel of John, He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So I want to continue our series this morning about recognizing and correcting religious error, because not only was there religious error in the Old Testament, which God condemned and punished many people for it, but there was also religious error in the New Testament, even among some who profess to be Christians, and God sent letters to them to has told them to correct their problems and correct these issues and get back on the right track. So let's study and learn from God's Word and talk about some things that we see from the Scriptures that were unauthorized religious practices, which when God came down on those people, He condemned them for doing that. And we find that even before they came under condemnation because they were practicing religious error, God had warned them and told them that you're to obey Me. You're to follow My commandments and not the commandments of men. So go to, if you will, to Genesis chapter 4 this morning. And this is a familiar set of verses to a lot of people who study the Old Testament, and we often use this as an illustration of the fact that certainly it is possible for us to offer up worship to God that He will not respect, that He will have no regard for, because it's not worship that's done according to His will, or the proper thing is not offered in worship to Him. We find that these two brothers in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, Cain and Abel, we'll begin in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 4. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord, and also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their offering. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but He did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So we see from the illustration that we find in Genesis 4, the history of these two men, they both brought sacrifices or offerings to God. And it would appear that both of them intended to offer up sacrifices that perhaps they thought would have been pleasing to God, but God was not well pleased with one of them. One of them He had no regard for, no respect for, because it was wrong. So we can see that we may be wrong religiously because we bring the wrong thing before God in worship. We do the wrong things in our acts of worship to Him. This happened to Cain whenever, or Abel and Cain whenever they offered up their sacrifices. So the one brother was acceptable and the other was not. So there is such a thing as offering up service or worship to God or offerings to God that are correct, that are in keeping with the will of God, that pleases Him, and it's also possible then to offer up worship or sacrifice or service to God that's not acceptable. And that's what we want to avoid, is falling into the realm of those who would be caught up in religious error and not please God. The second example we'll look to is the book of Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, there we see that certainly the Levitical priest, the priests were going to offer up sacrifices, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they offered up sacrifice to God. They were offering the sacrifice, and they used fire that God had not authorized in this sacrifice. And so we see that in this sense, this religious practice was wrong because these men offered something that God had not authorized. They offered strange fire. So we see again the fact that here's God who authorized certain things in worship, and if it's false, if it's not according to truth, if it's not what He's commanded, then He will not accept it. So religious error, regardless of who gets themselves involved in it, when it's wrong, it's wrong, and God will not be pleased with that kind of offering. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane or strange fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. Now we see that when these men offered up things that they knew better than to do, they knew what they were supposed to do, but they offered strange fire. Look what God did in verse 2. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near Me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So we looked at two examples this morning of the fact that it is possible to offer up sacrifice or service or offerings to God in worship and be unacceptable. And so our goal then is to be able to identify what the acceptable thing to do in worship is, and we do that toward God and then avoid that which is unacceptable. Thirdly this morning, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And again, many of us has used this setting of King Saul and the mistake he made in offering up a sacrifice that he had no right to offer. There were certain ones who could offer up sacrifice to God and certain ones who could not, and certain sacrifice could be offered. But here's Saul who offered up what? An unlawful or unauthorized sacrifice to God. So when we look at the examples in the Old Testament, there are numerous examples that show us that certainly God will not accept just anything that man throws out there. God will not accept even those who know better, who go ahead and do other things. God will not accept that either. So that equals religious error. That equals mistakes in religion. So how does God feel about that? He's displeased with it and He will not accept it. We cannot please God with unacceptable or unauthorized offerings before Him. 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, Saul was king there. And he chose him some men to go out to war and to battle. And so they went out to battle in the first few verses. And so the people, they were running here and there, and they were battling and they were scared. And so we see that later on down these verses that King Saul took it on himself not to wait, but to go ahead and offer up an unlawful sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 7. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Now verse 9, Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said in verse 11, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." Now, here's a man who felt like that, well, Samuel is not going to come here in time to offer up this offering, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it myself. We need to offer up an offering here for me and the people, and you know, so we're just going to go ahead and do it our way. Well, what Samuel says to him then in verse 13 is this. Samuel said to Saul, "You've done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which He commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." But, verse 14, see what God is going to do to Saul because he offered up an unlawful, unauthorized sacrifice to God. He stepped out of line. Verse 14, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for Himself a man after His own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over His people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded him." When we look at the first three examples this morning in the Old Testament of people who worship God or offered up sacrifice to God, brought presentations to God that were not authorized, they were in error. They were mistaken in what they did. It may have been done out of goodwill. It may have been done with good intentions. It may have been done in a place of because they were waiting because someone else had not showed up to give the sacrifice, and they think, well, it'll be okay to go ahead and do it. Let's offer one anyway. But that was not what God had authorized. That was not what God had said. And so these first three examples show us that certainly God will not accept offerings or worship or religious activity brought up before Him by people or individuals that He's not authorized. God is strict. He has given us in His Word what He wants us to do. Well, idol worship in the Old Testament was forbidden. God had commanded them, even from the writing of the law of Moses, not to offer up sacrifices to idols, not to have any other gods before them other than the God, Jehovah God, of heaven and earth. Look to Exodus chapter 20 and let's look at verses 1 through 5. We see in this example that God had commanded Moses, He had commanded the children of Israel, they had been instructed in what they were to do and who they were to worship and how they were to worship and what they were to worship. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. God spoke these things and said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3. Now He's speaking to Moses and the children of Israel and the Ten Commandments that Moses is going to give to these children that God had chosen to be His children. You have no other gods. You shall have no other gods before me. Wouldn't you say that's a fairly reasonable statement to make that can be, ought to be clearly understood? You shall have no other gods before me. You see, God didn't say you shall have no other gods before me other than you can do this or you can do this. No, it's a command. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves. Verse 4. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. He clarifies the fact that you're not to worship any object of the earth. You're not to put anything or any image before me. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation to those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. So when God commanded them not to have any other gods before them and not to have idol worship, not to have any graven images, when He commanded them in those terms and explained to them that, He also said, I am a loving God, and those who love me and do my commandments, I will love them and they will be my children. But those who don't are religiously wrong and God will not accept them. Look at Exodus chapter 34. And again, in regard to the children of Israel and God's laws He gave for them and the instructions He gave them concerning idol worship and forbidding it under the law of Moses. Exodus 34, beginning in verse 10. And He said, Behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. He says, verse 11, Now observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. He's driving these people out. So the Israelites will not be caught up in what? In idol worship, or get caught up with the worship of heathen gods of the people around them. Verse 12 of Exodus chapter 34. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you're going, lest it be a snare in your midst. You see, our God in heaven, who created us, the God of heaven and earth that's speaking to Moses and the children of Israel at this time, He knew the impact and the influence that ungodly people or people who offer up worship to God that's not what God has asked, or people who would bring false teachings before them could sway His people to go astray. And God saying, I will not accept error. I will not accept mistaken religious practices. I will not accept false doctrines or teachings that bring my people away to worship other gods and other things. And so He's warning them about that. And He tells them to destroy all these things in verse 13. Verse 14 then of Exodus chapter 34 says, "For you shall worship no other God, for the God whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods, and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice. And you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. You shall make no molten gods for yourselves." So, when God gave the commandments to the children of Israel not to get involved in idol worship, not to get involved with the heathen people around them, drive those people out and don't let them influence you religiously to get involved in worship that I have not authorized, because this can happen, he's saying. You can get over in that land. If you don't drive these people out, completely out, then what's going to happen? You're going to get involved with those people. And you're going to begin to talk to them, and you're going to rub elbows with them, and you're going to hobnob with them, and you're going to take up with them, and your sons are going to find some of their daughters, and they're going to marry them, and they're going to be led astray to what? To worship that I will not accept. Does that sound familiar to what's going on in our nation and around the world today? People bring ideals out religiously, and Christians are there, and others are around, and they observe what other people are doing, and it looks like it's okay. And it seems to be that something that just mobs of people are enjoying doing. But you look in your Bible and you flip through the Scriptures and you read, and you can't find that particular thing that's being done. You can't find that authorized in the Bible, but so many people are involved in it, and you know, they're our friends and our neighbors. We're around them, so let's just go over and get involved with them. That's kind of what God was warning Israel about. When you go into this land, there's going to be people there that are religiously wrong. So don't you make the mistake of going over there and being caught up with their error and their mistakes, and be guilty of worshiping in a way that I will not accept, or involving yourself in things religiously that I have not told you you can do, because you're going to be condemned if you do. Similarity of the things that happens today religiously. There are so many things that go on, and we could get into the avenues of things in the religious world of what people do from week to week and day to day and from time to time, the things that are happening in different religious bodies that seem to be okay on the surface. And men have no whims with what's going on at all with it. They think, well, that's all right, that's good. But if you can't find it in the Bible, if you can't find authority for it from God's Word, if there's not authorization, then we don't need to be involved in it. What we need to be involved in is the thus saith the Lord. What God has said about who we're to worship, when we're to worship, how we're to worship. The object of our worship is God the Father. The elements of worship. What is to be brought before God in worship. We don't need to be guilty of offering up strange fire before God today, figuratively speaking, by bringing in things to our worship that He's not authorized. We don't need to be guilty today of coming up lacking in our worship to God or our offerings to God because we decide it's okay to leave something out that God has said we need to be doing. The Lord's Supper is a good example of that. We observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. The example in the New Testament is that those early Christians, they came together on the first day of the week to break bread, the unleavened bread, to remember the Lord's death, look back to the cross, and drink of the fruit of the vine to remember the blood that He shed on the cross. They did that on a weekly basis on the first day of the week. And they were admonished not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so when we see that and that example and the teaching there in the New Testament of what was done, then we have that today to follow. So what if we decide that the frequency of the Lord's Supper is just a little bit too burdensome to prepare the bread and the fruit of the vine each first day of the week? So why don't we do it every 6 months? Or why don't we just do it quarterly? Or perhaps it's not convenient for some people to do it on the first day of the week. Why don't we set up a Saturday night for people to have communion? Why don't we do that? Well, the reason we don't do those things is because there's no authorization for it in the Bible. What is authorized is the first day of the week, the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the fruit of the vine. And you see, the examples in the Old Testament, when you go back to Cain and Abel, and Nadab and Abihu, and King Saul, and the idol worship that was condemned, and God said, don't be involved in this. Other people around you will influence you to do their own thing. Be careful. Don't let other people influence you to get involved in things that are religiously wrong, because there are things that are religiously right that God has authorized. But stay away from those things that are religiously wrong. Well, another point this morning is simply this. That in the Old Testament, and as we conclude our thoughts this morning in the last several minutes and we look at this thought, as we go through this series, we'll get over into the New Testament and we'll look at examples in the New Testament of where people were religiously wrong also. And we'll be able to see the things that God asks us to do and what's right, and so that we don't get caught up in religious error. But one more point from the Old Testament, that is 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17, and we won't read all these verses, we'll just look at some of them and read part of them, but you can read that set of verses I have listed there, 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 5 through 23, and we see that certainly when it comes to religious matters and God's people, that God punished His people by carrying them into captivity. Why? He did it after they had participated in what? In religious error. Some of them listened to the folks around them. They got caught up in idol worship. Their hearts were far from God because they didn't stay within the words of the commandments of Moses and learn the expansion of the teaching of the commandments and obey them. And they were punished. 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 5. Now the king of Assyria went through all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it for 3 years. You see, what God is doing, He's fixing to carry Israel into Assyrian captivity. In verse 7, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord. Notice that verse. 2 Kings 17 in verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. Remember, we talked about earlier God's commandment. You don't have no other gods before me. Don't go out here and get involved with the nations around you and those people, because they're worshiping false gods. They're doing things wrong religiously. Verse 8. And had walked, Israel then, had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel which they had made. Also the children of Israel, verse 9, secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. And they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every hill and under every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they served idols of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Well, we're going down to verse 18, and we see when it comes to religious error, God is relentless. He's not going to accept religious error. Verse 18, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from His sight, and there was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. And also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they made. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, and delivered them in the land of plunderers until He had cast them from His sight. For He tore Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. Then Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. Verse 22, for the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them. Verse 23, until the Lord removed Israel out of His sight, and He had said by all His servants the prophets, so Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day. So the points we've had this morning from the Old Testament clearly teach and exemplify the fact that there is a God. He is alive. He is real. He is true. He is honest. He is merciful. but He is strict. He gives rules. He gives Him His. He gives His ways, and He has given us those ways through His Word. What all those people had to do was listen to the commands He gave them and adhere to them. What we have to do today is listen to the commands that God gives us, believe by faith, and obey Him, and we can be pleasing to Him. But we get caught up in religious error. If we get led astray by things that are going on around us, or we have our own ideals and we decide it's better to do it our way than God's way, then we are in trouble. Hope the lesson this morning will help all of us to continue to study and search and learn so that we'll know the truth, so that we can be free from error, so that we can practice the things that God would have us to do. Lord's willing, we'll continue this study another time, and there'll be several lessons in this series, the Lord's willing. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can obey God if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that, repent of your sins and be baptized. By doing that obedience through faith, your sins will be washed away in the waters of baptism, which represent the blood of Christ, and you can leave this building free of sin. If you're here this morning and maybe you are a child of God and perhaps you've not obeyed God as you should, maybe you've get caught up in error, you made mistakes that need to be corrected in a public way, then if we can help you with that, WBA is going to lead us in the invitation song. We urge you to come at this time.